This episode of the Off Course Podcast is brought to you by Sax Parente. Visit saxparente.com or follow them at Sax Parente on social to see how their patented ultra-low balance point putter builds can help your putter game using physics, not gimmicks.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, everyone, to a brand new episode of Off Course. I am your host, Dan Edwards. You can find me on social at Canadan Golf and at Off Course THP. With me today is Angelo Papadourakis from Sax Parente. And I think I kind of nailed the name there, didn't I?
You did a great job there, Dan. That's outstanding.
Awesome. Tell me a little bit about your involvement with Sax Parente so we can kind of introduce you to the group listening in.
Sure. So I'm the vice president of sales for Sax Parente Golf. And if they don't know our name, it has some pretty impressive origins, Steve Sax and Rich Parente. And I've been a friend of Steve Sax for a while, and he was the one who actually introduced me to their ideas. And once I saw what they were coming out with, I wanted to be part of the team, Dan.
Well, let's not leave it at that. I did a little research on the company, and I was kind of, you know, it's one thing to have one guy with an impressive resume in the game of golf. I called it a heavy resume between the two of them, dating back to the early 70s. You have guys in R&D, you have guys leading product design and so on. It's clear that Sax Parente came in with two guys who brought an idea together and really ran with it. Do you think that sort of started the identity of why you're unique compared to other putter companies or just other golf companies in general?
Oh, absolutely. When you look at the, we'll call it industry veterans that came up with the idea, you know, Steve and Rich have been around the game for such a long time and really seen the transformation of equipment. You know, when you look back, the first company, well, not the first company, but the company that everybody knows of is Callaway Golf. So Rich Parente started a company called Old Hickory. And then he got together with Ely Callaway and they formed Callaway Golf. Rich Parente was the very first president of Callaway Golf. So when you talk about someone really there at the cusp of this, you know, transformation in golf equipment, Rich Parente was there. And Steve Sax right along with it, with Goldwyn. He's been part of Rife Putters. So every step of the way, they've been watching when technology comes to equipment, what a benefit it can be for a golfer. So they had that mindset right away. They said, what can we do to help people putt? And that's how it started. And that really is something, you know, from a company mission statement, we always talk about, you know, we're going to help you putt better. And we've never lost sight of that. And what we're doing is bringing this ultra-low balance point technology, which I'm sure we'll talk about in detail, but we're bringing that to people so they can feel how it improves their putting.
That's awesome. And from your personal background in the game of golf, how did you get to the point of becoming a part of Sax Parente? What led you to that?
So I first got into, we'll call it more the technology side of golf. So I was involved in motion capture, sensor-based, electronic-based golf swing analysis, really, is how I got involved in the game of golf. And it really came from me wanting to be a better golfer. I have a passion for the game of golf. I love playing the game of golf, and I want to be good at the game of golf. So I got into it on the electronics side and really worked my way through the industry, whether it was, you know, down on the floor at the PGA show, which, you know, I'm sure, Dan, you've been a part of. And it's just, you know, for us in the industry, it's like everything to go to Orlando in January. And so really built out my own network within the industry. And so part of that network was Steve Sax. So Steve and I have a long relationship. When I got into the business, he was one of the first people I had the pleasure to meet. And so Steve approached me and said, Angelo, I know you're more on the, we'll call it electronic technology side, but we're doing some very interesting things from the sort of physical technology side of golf and game improvement and putting. And I'd really like you to see it. So Dan, I went out to California where our company is based, and I saw our 39, which is our blade. And people who have seen it know it looks like a, you know, a bullseye putter from many years past. But when you put it in your hands and putt, the incredible feel you get, the consistency, the roll, I was sold. And I said, Steve, I really want to be a part of this because I think it's something special.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to unpack because you guys are doing it different in so many ways. You hear the idea over and over and over again from people that say, oh, it's just a recreation of something that has existed in the past. And, you know, as much as I respect the idea that's being presented there, I also think it's hard because you're not identifying what makes each product unique. But when you look at Sacks-Parente from a blade standpoint, you look at three really unique shapes that somewhat represent another style that may be familiar from another, you know, tens of brands or however many other brands are creating something of a similarity. But I mean, even the most, what I would consider standard putter in your lineup, the Series 66, has so many things going on it that's unique. And is that challenging for you as a company to help players identify that, because they see this product and they think, yeah, okay, it's just another, you call it a cavity back flange blade. It's just another, you know, answer style putter. How do you get them past that initial phase?
So, you know, part of it is our introduction to, you know, in essence, getting it in people's hands, right? So first is the introduction. We want to be able to tell our story. So we developed what we think is a very clear story defining what our technology does for the golfer and what it can actually help them attain in their putting game. So in other words, we always talk about our buckets of technology and try to make that clear. So number one, we always talk about our ultra low balance point because that's where our technology really begins. And people say, okay, well, what is that? Well, what we did is we took, and actually this was Rich Parente, took a standard weight putter head. He cut down a graphite shaft and actually made the first grip out of cork. He hand carved it out of cork because his idea was, I need somehow to promote a, we'll call it pendular swing, meaning you don't have to manipulate it with your hands to get it to square and release. And he felt if I bring the balance point down, which is what we have, 5 inches or lower, that's going to give the golfer the ability to really lightly grip that putter, take their motion, and have a consistent result without having to manipulate it over and over, which we all have to do. So we started with the ultra low balance point, and then we added on from there. So one of the things we always talk about is a very high MOI. And our MOI, we like to call it a special MOI because we bring the weight as far forward as we can in every single putter we make. So I know you've alluded to some of the different designs, and they do. Some of them resemble classic shapes, but they're classic shapes sort of only in image only, but the technology that we put into them takes them far and above. So we'll put weights on the heel and toe, which brings up the MOI, so resistance to twisting. So you're going to get a very straight roll. And then the last sort of part of that bucket of technology is we always bring the weight as far forward as possible, because you won't get a gear effect on a miss hit. And that's important. We don't want to add any spin to a putt. It's not billiards, as I always tell people. I don't want English on my putt. So those three buckets of technology were really our introduction to the player. And that's where we start, Dan.
Yeah, I want to keep going on the Series 66 because, again, I think it's the most relatable of the bunch from an everyday golfer. And I want to focus now on, I think you have four different metals that go into the head itself. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So the one thing that we maybe don't see when we just take a glance at it is it's a different visual finish from the front to the back. So basically the face to the flange. The conversation that's really not had is it's a different type of metal. So there's a lot more going on there than the eye can, you know, basically define for ourselves. Is it enough to say that visual difference should get people interested? Is it enough? I'm trying to get this in a way that you can answer it. Because you have so many different weight locations that are hyper visible from the address instead of just refinishing your putter once it's completed, adding, you know, a single color or a single finish to it. You present all this, but then people need to understand it better. And you've alluded to that a little bit with the increased MOI with the weight wider, but how much is involved there? And what was the decision to keep it the way it was instead of doing a single single style finish once it was complete?
So everything we do, and kind of this comes down from Steve and Rich from the very beginning, everything is based on performance. So while it looks, I think, incredibly cool, and I love the look of it, we will never sacrifice performance for a look. So the difference in metals that we put in, whether it was the aluminum or the brass or the stainless, it's because when we felt it, it felt better than what we'll call, let's say, a different alternative. So one of the things we always wanted to stress is, you know, how does that feel in your hands? How does the ball come off of it? You know, how does it perform not only in our studio and with our robot, how does it perform on a green? So the decisions that you see, whether it's the materials, the look, the size, those are all based on performance first, rather than, oh, we want it to look a certain way.
Yeah, I think that goes into another question that I have, and we're going to hold off on what I think I know is coming down the pipe and just focus on what you started with Series 66. Mm-hmm. Was there any conversation early on in the design process to say maybe we should make the hit point of the putter head, so the insert basically, what if we made it out of copper? What if we made it out of, the fancy metals that people are toting right now, like GSS? What if we change the depth of the mill there? How much did it take to get to that final decision to just focus on the singular finish or singular metal result there?
So initially, especially with the 39, we did a lot of testing on the different inserts that could be, you know, put into the putter. And once again, like I was just talking about, how did it feel? How did it respond? You know, you're capturing things, whether it's a Quintec or on slow motion, because, you know, we want to see how it skids. We want to see how quickly it rolls. We want to see how the ball responds to that particular groove. So all that testing, especially with the different metals, and as I came on board, I got to feel them too. And Dan, you know, there is a discernible difference when you put different inserts and different metals and putters. Most people who aren't involved in it, they only see the end product. But during the testing phase, yeah, you get an opportunity to really experience good and bad, quite frankly, the things that that can change the way a putter feels.
Does it get difficult when you see typical trends in the industry show up, like a few years ago when Deep Mill came out so heavily and everyone wanted that overly soft experience off their putter head? And I personally, I think it's gross. I play a soft ball and I have an incredibly limited finish on the putters that I prefer. Or not finish, but milling. So I want that little click that you expect. I certainly got it off the Series 66 that I was messing with from Sax Parente. Do you ever get locked up in those trends yourselves and say, let's make a concession here? Or are you just really sticking to that performance first mentality?
So number one, we always stick with the performance first, because you know, I've had some people love the way our putters look. Some people go, well, it looks a little different than I'm used to. But when I start taking money off my friends, it's really not that much of an issue anymore. So I think it's always important to stick with the performance first and prove yourself out in the marketplace. And if you're good enough, people aren't, you know, look, certain people, they're always going to want something that, you know, is following a trend. And I get it. And that's fine. You know, putters are very personal, and everybody's got a preference. Everybody's got a look, a feel. They like to look at thin or large or whatever it is. That's okay. But what we want them to know from a performance perspective is that we're always trying to make them, you know, as we always say, help you make more putts. That is our goal, and we never lose sight of it.
Well, I'll tell you what, a couple weeks ago, I was down in Nashville playing a couple rounds with JB from THP, and he had your Series 18 in play, and it was always a conversation piece. He says it's his favorite design. He can't get enough of it, and it's fun to see people react to it because it's such a unique looking shape. It's almost like a ghost of a shape people are familiar with, but it's such a your your vision from Sax Parente that kind of completes it, that's pretty fun to see. And I think, like you said, it's a very personal thing. I would defer more to the 66, but I'm very boring and he's leaning on this, 18. I love that there's that variety there. What I want to know is which one's in your bag.
So I have two putters in my bag, and like you, I'm a bit boring. So I have a 66.
I said it, not you.
Because I'm the same way. I've kind of grown up on that style, and it suits my eye. It feels right. It looks right. And I think I putt pretty well with it. The other one that I do use, because I'm a bit of a misfit in terms of I'm a right-hander, but I'm left eye dominant.
Okay.
So I also play a center shafted 54M with the three stripes, the VA. Because for some reason in a mallet, the center shaft really works for me.
There's a lot to talk about with that mallet. You guys have a cool concept you had on the top of the putter head itself, which has been around for a while, a little bit longer than some others.
Indeed.
And you have four different styles of getting to it. I had some fun with it. You saw we were doing some testing in THP HQ using it on the Explanar putting mat, which is pretty fun. I think it's a cool head. It's got a unique sound to it. And you definitely don't have to work hard to get the ball doing what you should be doing. Is it hard for you to get away from that and going back to the 66? Or are you going to the 66 because you like the 66? So you should be playing the 54.
So for me, what really helped my putting more than anything is the ultra low balance point, because I don't know if it's because I've been an athlete in other pursuits. I have a tendency to, try to manipulate my putter. So when I put our putter in my hand and I sort of back away from that need to manipulate, because that ultra low balance point is always going to get square and release. It could be the 66 or the 54. It doesn't matter, because it's doing what helps me the most. And that is freeing me from manipulating. And then it also frees me from thinking about manipulating, which, as we now know with putting, freeing up your sort of mind is a great thing.
Oh, for sure. We should definitely keep talking about the ultra low balance point. You guys have a slogan on your website that says physics, not gimmicks. You don't have to point any fingers with the gimmicks part. I'll let the mind wander on that one, but it also kind of supports the premise of you guys doing it so differently than so many. We've seen in the past companies try and utilize this very, very light grip and shaft concept. It's not a new concept in total, but you guys have done it to the point where it's, I think I read, 1 gram per square inch on the graphite shaft and super light grips that are in and around, 25 to 35 grams, which is obviously really light compared to what you're used to out there.
Yeah, well, one thing, that we always note with people is you need to have an opportunity to feel something different, right? If you take, and go in the corral, and look, everybody makes beautiful designs. I would never denigrate anybody's designs. But when you pick them up, if I was to blindfold you, would you know it was a different putter? And the answer is, unfortunately, probably not. I don't think, and I've done a lot of demos, especially before the pandemic, when we actually used to be able to go around and do demos. And Dan, everybody that I've put a Sax Parente putter in their hands goes, wow, this feels different than anything I've ever picked up before. And that's key for us. We need you to be able to know that the technology is there, but that you can feel it also. I mean, it's difficult if you go, well, it feels like everything else. I hope it's going to make me better. No, ours, you feel, as I kind of tell people, remember the first time you tried a anchored putter and you put it on your sternum and you made that, broom stroke with it. I guarantee you knew it was different than what you had used before. And for many people, actually, it helped them a lot because they could actually release the putter consistently. Well, with ours, you're going to have that same visceral impact. You know it's going to feel different than your own putter. And I think that really starts cluing people in that our technology is doing what we say it's going to do, which is going to help them roll more putts, towards their target.
So going to a bit more scientific on it, it makes a lot of sense to have the weight at the bottom. You see a grandfather clock with the large heavy weight element on the bottom going back and forth. And I think that that probably comes close to displaying what we're trying to achieve here. It's this, the most amount of weight movement and resistance is all in the base as opposed to in the hands. I feel like that's what you're trying to achieve in more of a putting stroke method. Is that pretty fair?
Dan, you're spot on.
Okay.
And one thing we always like to emphasize is it's not a heavy head. It's a tour weight head. It's 365 grams. What we've done is we've taken the weight out of the top part so you can still feel a tour weight head. We didn't want people feeling like they were swinging a manhole cover. You know, we wanted it to be a weight that they were comfortable with, and one, you know, that sort of fits the dimension of the strength of your upper body. You know, you don't want to have to try to force a heavy weight, but you're spot on. Think of, you know, when you hang a weight off a string, you barely have to move it, yet it continues to repeat that same easy back and forth motion, like you said, like on a grandfather clock.
So you have a specific shaft that goes in there, you have specific grips, and there is a couple options on the website. How often have you pursued adding different grips throughout other elements of the industry, maybe something not unique to yours? I know playing with a bunch of golfers, they are super annoying. I mean, picky. I mean, you know, unique in the way that they like to play. Well, I have to have this grip. I have to have that grip. I myself have a grip I prefer. It's a comfort thing, right? Is it? Have you pursued that? And does that become a challenging element for you guys?
So we don't pursue it only because if you start adding weight at the very top of a Sax Sprente putter, you're defeating the sort of pendular motion that we were just discussing previously. So you don't want to take away the ultra low balance point. You don't want to defeat that by adding a lot of weight to the top. And so what we hope to have accomplished is we've given people, we'll call it the really popular geometries within our grip. So we have a very classic pistol grip, which is the narrow, you know, it narrows towards the bottom and it still has that, you know, thinner diameter that some of us are used to perhaps on our older, you know, flange blade putters, more of the, you know, the classic. And then we took that same geometry, meaning the taper towards the bottom, but made it in a much larger diameter. So people who, and I won't mention names, you know, the newer, larger grips, that we'll call the more modern grip, it much more approximates that in terms of its feel in your hands and that sort of larger diameter that some people are asking for. And then our final one, we did really a bit of an inverse taper where it gets slightly larger towards the bottom of the grip. And once again, in a large diameter. So people that are used to more of that uniform large diameter grip, it gives them an option as well. With, as I said, most importantly, not defeating the benefits of the ultra low balance point that we want to bring.
So tell me about durability then. I'm a guy who leans on just about every golf club I've ever used. Now, I know it's probably not the best thing to do. I've heard some issues with other putters that have been, you know, around that maybe have a unique design, having trouble dealing with the weight of a person on it. Is that a problem for you guys?
It's not a problem for us. We designed the graphite. We call it our Gen 2 graphite shaft. Now, I always tell people, I probably wouldn't watch a parade sitting on my putter. I generally, you know, tell people not to do that. But no, there's no durability issues. It looks good out of the box. It looks good after 100 rounds, and certainly, you know, plays that way as well.
Well, let's talk about you as a putter then, since we've addressed a lot of what Sax Sprente has to offer right now. I want to know, do you have any idea? Well, first of all, how much do you play? And if you play a reasonable amount, what kind of putts per round can we expect out of Angelo?
Okay, so it's a great question, and it's a funny question, because if you ask anybody in the golf business, how much do you get to play golf? We all kind of chuckle right away because we probably all played way more before we were in the golf business than once we got in the golf business. So I don't play as much as I used to, but, you know, probably get out, you know, 4 times a month, maybe once a week or so. I do live in a cold weather climate. So our golf season is fairly short, but once the weather gets nice, I like to get out. My putts, what I would say that my putter with Sax Brente does for me is it's really taken away my three putt, because I'm a fairly aggressive putter. I'm not going to give up on a birdie just so I can, you know, except maybe if I have a partner and we have a couple presses on and I know I just need to make a par, but I'm a pretty aggressive putter. And one of the issues, of course, is when you're aggressive, sometimes you leave yourself in a bad position coming back. And so I think what's really made a huge difference for me is consistently, you know, two putts are my worst. And the other thing is I'm never away from the hole anymore. And that's been, it's really been fun because, you know, we all get up there, we pick our line. I hope I can read a green fairly decently. And at least, you know, once summertime comes around here, the greens get fairly consistent. In the spring, I think it's anybody's bet, you know, sometimes you're going through, you know, bumpy, other times it's wet. But it's really got me around the hole. I'm making a lot more putts than I used to. And that's just fun. You know, I know, and I always tell people this, especially when I'm doing demos. If you have confidence on the green, I think it impacts every step back to the tee box. Because I know if I'm around the hole, number one, if I'm the green, I'm going to get down in two. And it's just a fun feeling. It's just given me a lot more confidence in my game that, yeah, I can mix it up a little bit early, you know, whether off, you know, I'm a little offline with my driver, but I know I can sort of close out the hole in good fashion now.
So has your game changed overall, like your perspective of the game now that you're more involved in a putter company? Has it changed the way you look at it for one? And has it made putting more enjoyable and like higher on your list of things that you enjoy about the game of golf?
So it's definitely changed my perspective. Okay. Because number one, I'm walking around with a putter in my hand all the time and talking about putting. So, you know, normally we always talk about, yeah, how far are you driving the ball or, you know, things like that. So I've started, like I said, started to think about the game from the green backwards as opposed to the way I used to do it, which was from the tee box out. Now, granted, I still you can't play the game of golf unless you can keep the ball in front of you. And I get that. But it's also so important that you have that confidence around the green. And here's something, it gets a little more esoteric, but you know, the putter is one of the few things you can really control consciously. I mean, it happens slowly enough that it's a conscious movement. It's not like the downswing, which, you know, once it gets tipped at the top, it's pretty much going. So when you have the confidence in your abilities on a green, I think it just frees your whole game up. So I've loved the change in my perspective. I think it's really helped my game out quite a bit.
That's awesome. I've loved putting for over a decade now. It is by far one of my favorite things to do while I'm out there. There's two things that are true. I will putt as much as I can. And if I'm anywhere around the green and there's grass, there's air underneath my ball, I'm flopping it. I don't care what you tell me. I don't care what the percentages are. Those are two things you can guarantee if you play golf with me.
Outstanding. But you're spot on, Dan.
Yeah. So you're up in like Chicagoland-ish. Is that fair?
I am. Yep.
So how is the golf up there? Have you been there for a while?
So I've pretty much grown up in the Chicago area. I lived in Florida a little bit when I was much, much younger, but we love golf in the Chicago area. And really the only thing that slows down golf in the Chicago area is the weather. The minute I always laugh because our company is based in California, in Camarillo, which is just sort of north and west of Los Angeles. And you know, the guys will be like, oh, it's 50 degrees here. Everybody's bundled up. And I'm like, guys, in Chicago, if it's 50 degrees, A, we're either playing golf or washing our cars and probably wearing shorts because we're dying for 50 degrees after January and February and unfortunately sometimes March weather.
Yeah. Is there a course that you like to play up there that you'd recommend to someone who's coming in from out of town?
Well, you know, Chicago is huge. Mm-hmm. So I always tell people, much like deciding on which pizza you want when you come to Chicago, it depends, right? If you're up on the north side, there's some great golf courses, actually public golf courses up in Zion, which is almost to the Wisconsin border. Another great one, Stonewall Orchard in, I think it's considered Gray's Lake. They've had some U.S. Open qualifiers there, really, you know, outstanding golf. And then, you know, if you head down south, you go to Cog Hill, Dubs Dread, which has hosted the Western Open before. So, you know, in terms of public golf, there's some really nice Cantini, which is sort of out western suburbs. So for public golf, really, you know, throw an arrow, depending on if it lands north, south, or west of the city, you're going to find something really good.
So I always like to say my favorite one to play up there is the Highlands of Elgin. Mm-hmm. Have you played there before?
I have not played that.
Okay. Kind of built into an old quarry. Super cool layout. We had a THP event there quite a few years ago and had an absolute blast. Just kind of getting my feet wet a little bit in the Chicagoland golf. I have to be a little bit more picky because I'm not a fan of wind, and you don't hide from it up there, do you?
No. It's depending, especially if you get on some of the rebuilt, like, you know, something from a quarry, or there's a two golf courses like right along the lake on the south side called Harborside. And they were built over old, actually, you know, garbage dumps. I hate to, you know, but it is. But they're beautiful now. And when you get up in that higher elevation up by the lake, oh, man, it's kind of like the old thing. You know, I had to walk to school uphill both ways. It's like every time I turn, I always seem like the wind's at me. But it's something to get used to.
Yeah, it's been kind of unrelenting this year in Ohio so far. We've had, they always say 5 to 10 miles an hour, but it always feels like a windstorm out there. I play on a links course here, so we can't really hide from it. And it continuously makes me quite angry. But I do want to talk pizza now. You brought it up. We have to talk about it, right? You're obviously a Chicago, longtime Chicagoan, so you have a perspective. Should the cheese be above or below the sauce?
Oh, that is such a loaded question, Dan.
Of course it is.
So first of all, I'm kind of famous for anybody who knows me about my problems with pizza, because I could eat pizza every day, which, you know, it's also a problem for the waistline. So I always tell people, I say, look, it depends what mood I'm in. I love deep dish Chicago pizza, but I also like Southside Chicago pizza, which is so thin, it's paper thin.
Okay.
And it's
a little crisp to it. Okay.
Very crisp. And on the south side of Chicago, you don't find any sort of deep dish. That's not a thing. So I love Neapolitan style pizza in a wood-fired oven. I love stuffed pizza. I love, you know, Roman pizza. So you could talk about any type of pizza. I've probably tried it. I have driven to Detroit to have Detroit style pizza. I've driven 3 hours from Chicago to the University of Illinois, which has probably one of my favorite pizza places in the whole world, a place called Papa Del's. I'll give them a plug, but it's a really like bready pizza. So like Chicago deep dish, even though people think it's kind of bready, it's not, the bread itself is kind of thin, but as you said, you know, then they put the cheese and then they put everything else on top of it, and that gives it the deep dish. But like Papa Del's, is a pan. It's like a thick Sicilian type of pizza. So it's got a lot of bread to it. So I love them all, Dan.
Yeah, I've enjoyed my experiences with the upside down pizzas, I like to call them. Being Canadian, I can play ignorant here. It's fine. We don't have a pizza of origin up there, so we can just play to the crowd, I suppose. I've always said to eat that stuff, you need to cut out. If you're midday, you need to cut out an hour or two for a nap afterwards.
Yeah, there's a pretty good carb load going in when you eat one of those. No question about that. A nap might be in order.
Well, here's the other age-old question that I have to ask you. Is the only right way to experience pizza for the first time cheese only?
Absolutely.
Okay,
good. I insist on it.
Yeah, we're on board there. I can't imagine dumping toppings on a brand new pizza place. I just can't do it.
Matter of fact, at the first PGA show that I was with Sax Parente, we went to a place in Orlando called NYPD Pizza and said, really, it's a nice New York style pizza. And I said, look, guys, you know, we're going to order about 4 or 5 pizzas here. But the first one everybody has to try is the cheese, because that gives you an idea of the craft of the person making the pizza. And I always insist on it.
And how is that taken? Because it gets a little bit crazy down there. Guys get hungry. They get a little ornery.
they get it. Luckily enough, they defer to me, I guess, because of my Chicago roots to all things pizza. So we're in pretty good stead with the company.
I love a good PGA show story. Do you have, Do you have any other good stories throughout the years? Maybe weird interactions? There's got to be something in the bank you want to share that you probably shouldn't.
Well, so this one was not a sex parente story.
Okay.
So I have to be careful because we are here talking about sex parente. But I was part of another company that we did a swing analyzer. And so you could do like we called it our training mode, and you could swing. And two people were visiting our booth. And we told the guy, yeah, go ahead and take a swing to, you know, and you'll see your swing shape. And just as he started his swing, his friend's like, no, you can't swing. And he let go of the club. It flew across our booth. We had like a column with Peter Costas's face and everything because he was the promotional. It tore through the whole thing and landed in the closet. We were like, oh, my God, I can't believe you didn't kill anybody. His friend just panicked and let go of the club.
Was this early in the show week or late?
It was probably like midweek. I don't really remember which day, but it was like, oh my God. Yeah. And just, so we had to kind of, you know, like put tape on the back of it, but yeah, he threw it right through the column in the closet.
I love that. Yeah. We should bounce back a little bit to sex parente. Cause I'm curious about any sort of tour adaptation to your product. I know there's some commentary on your website from Ken Duke. What other feedback's out there?
So first of all, you know, talk about Ken Duke a little bit. If you've ever had the pleasure of meeting Ken Duke, he is really, truly one of the best guys you'll ever meet. He was struggling with his putting. He was 87th on the Champions Tour. And one of our reps, we had a couple tour reps out there. Unfortunately, you know, the pandemic is really kind of put a stop to that right now. But he said, Ken, I'd really like you to try this. I know you're struggling with your putting. Give this a shot. So Ken picked it up and once again, immediately felt that it was different than anything else he had picked up before and started working with us. He got a prototype of the 66, Dan. So he was like one of the first guys trying out. We called it the 66i at that point. It was a prototype and really helped us, you know, in terms of he's like, this feels good, or I like it if you can do this a little bit. And so Ken fell in love with our putters. As a matter of fact, when we had the last live PGA show at the beginning of 2020, Ken came to our booth. We didn't pay him to be there. He just goes, guys, I'm in Florida. I'd love to come. And anybody I recognize or knows me, I want to tell them how good your putters are. So he's been fantastic with us. And then one of the other things on the LPGA tour. So we have Luis Ritterstrom who came out of, you know, Southern California as well. Made it to the LPGA Tour, got her, you know, full card. She's using one of our putters. And then we had a really nice third place finish. Jenny Coleman, I think it was in early March, finished third in an LPGA on 17 for a bot. So we've been really encouraged by the feedback that we've got from tour players. That like Kenny went from 87th to third in his putting. And once again, the confidence that they have on the greens translates to their game. And so we're going to continue to pursue the tour as soon as, you know, the sort of pandemic lessens and, you know, the restrictions lessen, because especially with the Champions Tour, the LPGA, we've had play on the PGA Tour, but as you know, it's much more restrictive in terms of what you can put in people's hands based on the contracts they have.
Yeah, of course. Well, it's great to hear there's some interaction out there, and obviously that's a significant improvement for someone. So I want to talk before we wrap up about something that looks like it's coming down the pipe. And I don't know if we're allowed to talk about it or not. I'm going to put you on the spot here, Angelo. I'll even bring up an image for you, even though I'm sure you know what it looks like. But it's something I think is called the Series 99. It looks a little bit more that traditional profile people are probably hunting for out there, a little bit more of a traditional mill on it. What is going on here?
So you've put me on the spot, but a spot that I definitely would like to talk about. So we've been teasing this one a little bit in the last week or so. Actually, Ken Duke has it in his hands and is using, there's a couple different prototypes that we have out there. So Ken is testing those for us. It's a gunmetal look, carbon steel putter, with the ultra low balance point, once again, being the featured part of it. So a traditional shape, a little more of a traditional look in terms of, you know, the solid material look and the solid color look. And Ken is all over it. And as a matter of fact, a few people who have seen it in Ken's hands are like, can I have one? Can I get one? So I've already heard from a few professionals that I actually got texted on this week who are definitely looking at it. So when it comes out, I think the Hacker's Paradise will be the first group to have a chance to review it.
Oh, fantastic.
Yep.
Is this sort of a presentation on what's possibly to come down the road for Sax Parente, a little bit of a more traditional profile, or is this, give me an identity on the next year or two. Do you have something in mind for the group there?
So we do. We're bringing this one out first with an eye towards perhaps bringing out some classical materials and shapes that people have seen before, but with the benefit of ultra low balance point. Because what we want to make sure of, like we talked about right from the beginning, from a performance perspective, we're putting something in somebody's hands that's going to make a difference and help them make more putts, right? That's where we start. That's where we end. But we don't want them to walk away because they're not necessarily seeing a shape that fits their eye. So much like everybody in the industry, you know, from an outside perspective, you want to get people to see as many things as they can that might perhaps fit them. But in our case, we want to make sure they're getting the benefit of the performance characteristics, you know, first and foremost. So that's what we're doing.
Well, that's exciting. And you kind of said there's some more options coming too, which has me thrilled. I think anyone who is following along that maybe didn't see a style or a shape they were looking for can get excited. The idea of this technology being a true opportunity for them here in the next little bit. So it's been a blast talking to you today, Angelo. And what I like to do is put my guests on the spot at the end of the show and see if they have any questions for me. Is there anything you have in mind?
So Dan, you know, you asked me how much I get to play golf.
Yeah.
How's your game? How much are you playing golf out there?
Not enough. I have a 5-year-old in baseball, which is ruining my Saturdays. And by ruining, I mean entertaining my Saturdays. We also just got a little puppy. So the last week and a half, I remember what sleep was like before I had a kid, and the golf was better then too. But no, I play, you know, at least once or twice a week, and it's enough for now. It better ramp up. Ohio's better start behaving with this weather stuff because it's certainly making things difficult. So
I get that. And then one last question, because you mentioned you're from Canada.
Yeah.
Now I have to ask, who's your hockey team?
Oh man. It's so it was Ottawa. I was a big Senators fan, and I was a big Senators fan because my dad is a big Leafs fan. And they, at the time when I lived in Canada, they were pretty solid rivals. So he didn't usually like when I talked during the game. So when I was rooting against his team, he couldn't really do anything about it. So I fell in love with them. But then when I moved to the US, I moved the same year that Columbus got a team. So I kind of went on their, jumped on their bandwagon from year one and rode out the ugly. Obviously, as a Chicago fan, you enjoyed the fruits of that for way too long. Guys like Johnny Taves and Pat Kane doing some rude things to my crew over here. But yeah, I might be sliding into free agency again a little bit. I'm not sure. I almost feel like I need to get back to the Canadian roots. So we'll see.
Okay. But, well, it's coming up, so it should be fun.
Yeah. But,
I always laugh because I think hockey, people who love hockey, we seem to have a natural affinity for golf because they literally on opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of your seasons.
Yeah.
So many golfers I know and hockey players I know go, yeah, those are my two favorite sports.
Yeah. And the move is not that different. It's not like baseball where you're hard pivoting on the back foot and, you know, you got all that leverage and power. And instead of slamming into the ground, you slam around or above the ground. So, yeah, I mean, it's not that far off. And I like to say my dad has a nice slap shot both in hockey and in golf. And I can't wait for him to message me and tell me I shouldn't have told anyone that. So
outstanding.
Well, hey, Angelo, it's like I said, it's been a pleasure. Anyone out there who wants to follow Sax Parente and what they're doing, I know you guys are on Twitter and Instagram at Sax Parente. Anywhere else they can find you?
They can also find us on Facebook as well.
Okay.
And then certainly come to our website, saxparente.com. There's a lot of information. We talk about, you know, the MOI characteristics, the materials in each putter. And I think there's some really wonderful photography. So you really get a sense of what they look like.
Those awesome looking shapes, cool designs. Yeah, I think that wraps it up for this week. If you are golfing out there this weekend, have a blast, play well, and tell me how you did.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.